GoDaddy.com. Use the code BLU139 to get 10% off any combination of purchases at GoDaddy.com. See site for details. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. Tango Tango Papa 1369, July 5th, 2010.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from work. Currently driving on Interstate 40 out in Oklahoma, still somewhat east of Oklahoma City. I was supposed to go back to work actually yesterday, Saturday morning. And I called in, and the dispatcher said, nope, no loads, don't have anything, try calling back later. And so I didn't. I didn't call back yesterday afternoon. They have my phone number. If they had something, they could have called. But so, in any case, I called them this morning, and at first the dispatcher said, well, I don't have anything, call back later. And he said, wait. And so he came back a couple of minutes later, and it turns out that he had a driver that had picked a load up at Nashville, Arkansas, which is down in southeast Arkansas, kind of out in the boonies, sort of in the mountains of southeast Arkansas. And so this driver made it to Broken Bow, Oklahoma, which was only about 50 miles away, and his truck broke down, and so he was just kind of stuck there. And so they had me, that Broken Bow, Oklahoma is about 200 miles from where I live in northwest Arkansas, and so they had me go down there, got there early this evening, and picked this load up, and you know, swapped trailers with him, gave him my empty trailer. I picked up his loaded one. The load is going to City of Industry, California. Now, I haven't been to California in, gosh, a good year and a half. I think a number of months ago, I did get a load going to California. They gave me a load going to California that I took home. And then someone came, you know, I swapped out with somebody. They gave me their empty trailer, and then they took it on to California. But I haven't actually been to California for at least a year and a half, maybe longer. So, but in any case, I'm on, getting closer to Oklahoma City. And then the load is supposed to be there on the 7th at... 1900, so 7 o'clock Pacific time or 9 o'clock Central time on the 7th in the evening. And so basically I've got, what I drive today, and then I have basically Monday, Tuesday, and then it delivers Wednesday night. Wednesday, I believe, if I've got my day straight, Wednesday being the 7th. And so, so I'm back at work, and, and I have plenty of time to get there. So, not under too much pressure. So it's a pretty nice day today. It's been, it hasn't been quite as hot. but it is very humid. I did, now once I got down south of sort of southeast of Fort Smith into Oklahoma, around Poto, Oklahoma, it was up to around 92 degrees, but you know, very high humidity, and I guess there were some kind of heat shower type thunderstorms that you know, blew through some of those areas, but all I saw was a little bit of drizzle. But this evening, it's very calm, and I guess currently I can't really tell if it's cloudy or not. I think it must be, well, no, I'm seeing stars, so I think there are a few clouds, but it's mostly clear. I can see a few clouds, and then but I do see mostly stars. And so right now it's, well, it's 12:36 a.m., so it's after midnight, and it's about 79 degrees here. And so that's kind of typical for this time of year, because it's 79 is fairly warm. That's warm enough where you want to certainly have your air conditioner handy, especially, you know, with the, if it's very humid. So, but that's pretty typical. So in any case, I'm back at work, and you know, I did enjoy my time off. I didn't really do a whole lot as far as trying to push to get things done. I just, for the most part, hung around the house and you know, just didn't do a whole lot of anything. And sometimes, you know, sometimes I think if I feel like doing that when I'm at home, if I feel like just kind of vegetating, a certain amount of that I think is actually okay. You know, I wouldn't want to have to do that day after day after day if I had to, you know, if I didn't have any other choice. If I, you know, because then it would, you know, just sitting around like that after a number of days, you know, for me becomes counterproductive. But, so I think that, you know, I was home long enough where I was just on the verge of kind of getting bored with it. And so it's kind of good to be back at work. So anyway, of course, while I was home, I did one of the things I finally did do. I've been talking about it for a long time. One of the things I finally did do was cancel my Dish Network account. And feeling really good about that, actually. You know, because it just makes me realize, and I know I talked about it in the last podcast, but, you know, here I was paying $97 a month. And what was, you know, maybe while I was home, I might watch some shows. I was basically watching three channels. 99% of the time that I did watch, the small amount of the time I did watch, it was on, you know, three channels: Discovery Channel, TLC, and History. And as I say, I could buy the DVDs, the season DVDs for each one of those series, whichever series that I watched, and there's no way that I would have racked up $1,200 worth of DVDs. You know, so it's, cable is really a bad, you know, cable or satellite is really, you know, for, at least for me, certainly, it's, and probably for more people if they would just really kind of analyze what they're watching, it's really kind of a bad deal. Now, if I was home all the time, if I had to, you know, and I was watching it a lot, or if I watch sports, which I don't, I could really care less about, but I know a lot of people do watch it. Not knocking it, I don't really have any, you know, I just don't care about it. But if I was, then, you know, then it becomes a different equation. Or if you've got people living with you, or if you've got, you know, kids and what have you, then obviously, you know, it's easy for me to, as you know, just being single, I'm the only person, it's easy for me to just say, hey, I'm going to cut that off. You know, this is worthless, chop it off, cut it off at the knees. But, you know, I don't know. This idea of, that they have, and they've had it for years, this idea of bundling with cable and satellite. If you want certain channels, then you have to take these other channels. You don't have any choice. And you're actually paying for those channels because the cable companies, the satellite companies, are actually paying for a lot of those channels. And, of course, they pay for it with the money that you give them for the subscription. When you pay your cable bill, when you pay your satellite bill. But they kind of get you to, oh, look at this, so you get all these channels. Isn't this wonderful? More choice. When the choices that they're giving you are, a lot of them, let's just be honest, a lot of them suck. You know, there's a lot of crap on a lot of those channels. It's kind of worthless. And, you know, if you just wanted, you try this with your cable company or try it with Dish Network. Say, I want three channels. I want Discovery Channel. I want the Learning Channel. And I want the History Channel. I don't want anything else. Do you think they'd sell that to you? Hell no. Can't do it. They can't do it. Their rules prevent them from doing it. They won't. They can't sell just what you want. You have to have all this other crap. You know, so that, you know, and then it's screwy, you know. And so once they kind of get the wedge in your mind, then they help you justify, you know, they've got all these little things that can help you justify the extra price that you're paying. And $97 a month is quite a bit of money. It really does add up. So, you know, it's really, I don't know, I feel good about just dropping it, cutting it off at the knees. There are a lot of other choices. I feel much better. You know, certainly one of the articles that I wrote for GeekNewsCentral.com caused me to kind of flesh out my thinking. I feel much better about, if I want, you know, to consume some media, you know, TV program or whatever, then it's up to me. I might as well just buy it outright or buy it, you know, get it through Netflix. If it's not available through Netflix and I really want it, go out and buy it. You know, so by kind of changing my mentality, kind of forcing myself to buy the content that I want, chances are I'm probably going to vet that content a whole lot more. I'm going to make sure that that's something I really want, and I'm not going to just buy stuff that I don't want. You know, I'm going to make sure that I'm going to really want it, and so therefore, you know, chances are I'm going to end up with something that I'm going to benefit from, you know, because I apply certain criteria, you know, as to whether something's valuable enough. It warrants me spending money on it, and, you know, and therefore spending my time watching it, consuming it, as opposed to just, you know, kind of taking the mindless drivel that fills a good 97 or 98% of what's on cable TV or satellite TV, all those channels, or even network TV. So, I don't know. As I say, it's not for everybody, but I think that a lot of people would probably benefit if with families and even with a wife, you know, they probably could benefit if they just got rid of the cable television or the satellite television subscription and went to an idea where they're having to choose the content. You know, certainly a DVR is a step in the right direction. But there's only so much that you can, you know, there's only so much programming that you can actually capture that's worthwhile. You know, on Discovery Channel, on the Learning Channel, on the History Channel, there are actually very few programs that are worth watching. on those channels. You know, a good chunk of what's on those channels is garbage, quite frankly. You know, because typically what's happened in the past, I would, you know, I'd have these different programs set to record on the DVR. I'd go home, I'd turn it on, start watching the stuff, and I maybe, you know, over the course of a few days, if I ended up watching a lot of it, I would end up running out of stuff. You know, and then that thing had a big hard drive in it. And I'd end up running out of it at some point. And then it was a matter of, you know, I'd probably watch the most interesting stuff first. And then I'd start digging through and finding stuff, you know, kind of, what's the next most interesting or the next most interesting? You know, to the point where there wasn't anything interesting left that I'd recorded on the DVR. So, I don't know, but in any case, I'm happy to that I, you know, it was the right choice for me to just cut it off, stop paying that, you know, and get my, you know, if I want some kind of video from somewhere, then get the quality stuff. And the quality stuff is available. There is other stuff available. I was thinking, you know, one of the problems, of course, you know, in the country we've got this moral problem, and you've heard me talk about it kind of endlessly. But we've also got a media problem. The main, so-called mainstream media, you know, for a long time now, they haven't been doing their jobs. You know, they're, you know, and I know some people will argue and say, well, they're just in the business to make money. Well, they're biased. And they're biased to the left. I don't care what anybody says. If you're objective, you can see that they have a left-wing bias for the most part. But they're not doing their jobs. And a lot of, you know, it's really criminal. You know, they'll make a big deal out of some certain things and just kind of try to sweep other things under the rug. Depending on whether it's a left-wing person doing it or a right-wing person doing it. And so, what do we do about that? You know, and people are already doing it. They're not buying the newspapers. They're turning off the news. That's not radical enough. I think we should cancel the newspaper subscriptions. Cancel the satellite subscriptions. Cancel the cable subscriptions. And I think if enough people, you know, enough people did that, they're already doing it. But if a bunch more people did it, you know, at some point those people can't continue to be propped up, of course, unless the government comes in and subsidizes them, which there are already people that are talking about that. Oh, we'll subsidize them. You know, not only cancel them, but if you know somebody that's in the newspaper business or you have contact with them, call them up and, you know, be polite. You know, don't be resentful, but give them a piece of your mind. You know, don't be afraid to offend them. You know, I think a lot of people are just, oh, well, we don't want to rock the boat, don't want to cause a problem. Just let it go, you know. And, you know, that attitude's been going on for too long. And now, you know, they're misreporting. That's journalistic malpractice that they're doing. And people aren't being informed. Or they're being completely misinformed. And, you know, in many cases, they're simply reporting propaganda. And what is ostensibly, you know, freedom of speech, but they're reporting propaganda. Now, how can that be? You know, we associate propaganda with dictatorial regimes, dictatorial governments. How does that work? Well, you can have overt slavery where you actually have somebody in chains and they're a slave. That's overt, physical overt. But you get rid of overt slavery. We fought a war. We got rid of slavery, overt slavery. But evil comes back. Evil comes back in a subtle form, in a more subtle form. And when it comes right down to it, it's about mind control and motivation. Bending the knees of your mind to the God government. Bending the knees of your mind to the liberal dictator. You know, to the dictator, whoever it might happen to be. It can be an ideology, it can be a person. But when you do that, you're not who you could be. You're separated from who you could be. And I don't know, the driver that I met there at Broken Bow was a black driver. He was a black guy. But we ended up, got there and the drop and hook, I could have done it, actually did that pretty quick. And then I started, we started having this really interesting conversation, and I ended up, talking about, a good chunk of the stuff that I talk about in the podcast. I talked, I was talking to this driver and, we had a really, I ended up standing there talking to him for 2.5 hours, and enjoyed every minute of it. And this guy, he could see what's going on. He can see that there's a problem with the country. And, I really enjoyed the conversation. I really enjoyed talking to him because I could see that, he really is a soulful person. He was a real person as opposed to some of these people that just give you the knee-jerk reactions. There's too many people that just have a knee-jerk reaction and, it's like they've been converted. You can argue with them all day long. They've been converted to communism, basically. And I think there's a bunch of people now that, that have been converted into communists, and they don't even realize it. They're defending the wrong, and no matter what you say to them, they can't give it up. There was I think I mentioned it. There was this video, and I mentioned it in the last podcast. There's this video that this guy, this Best Buy employee made. But he didn't mention Best Buy. But in any case, it was, kind of like the Evo versus the iPhone. And there was this guy that it was, this animated cartoon thing. And there was this guy that was basically, trying to sell this gal an HTC Evo, going through all the benefits of it. And this gal kept saying, "I want an iPhone. I don't care. I want an iPhone. I don't care. I want an iPhone." And then finally it descended into they started cussing at each other. But very funny. But that really illustrates the point. You can throw logic at people. Once they've been converted and they won't, they have an unwillingness to look at themselves, you can throw logic at them all day long and they'll just discount it. They don't care. They want what they want. And that's really a good illustration of the mentality that people have. But once somebody is wrong, they'll defend the wrong. Unless they have a willingness to look at themselves, they'll defend what's wrong. Even though that's been implanted in them, they'll defend what's wrong. Maybe they've been tricked into doing something wrong or believing something wrong, and then they'll defend it as if it's their own. It's the darndest thing. And so I don't know, but in any case, we've, you know, the economy, we're, you know, I was talking, this driver and I were talking about the economy, and it's not getting any better. It hasn't gotten any better. There haven't been any jobs created. That was all, you know, they cooked the books with the census and all that census employees. You know, they just cooked the books with it. There was no increase in jobs. It's just a net loss. There's less economic activity going on from month to month. And of course, come January, we got all these massive tax increases that are kicking in. And that's going to make things even worse. And I'm going to be, you know, the people that that I argue with, there's a few people that will go on, and, you know, and they still, you know, they're still trying to blame Bush, and, you know, and if you're against Obama's policies, oh, you must be racist. My own mom told me that more than once.
That's just racist. You just don't like him because he's black.
Ain't got nothing to do. It's like when I was talking to this black driver today, instead of just not talking about race, you know, I mentioned race, you know, and I said, I don't have a racist bone in my body. I could care less what color somebody is. You know, whether it's him standing right there or Barack Obama, I don't care. It literally doesn't matter. What really does matter is what is in, you know, what animates that person. Are they a real person, or are they just a clone? It's sort of an externalized clone that's separated from common sense. You know, and we've got maybe half of the country that's, they're not real to varying degrees. People aren't real. They're not genuine. They just go along to get along, and it's, they're all part of a massive, you know, just different group thinks. This kind of group think, that kind of group think. You know, there's different smaller group thinks and then different bigger group thinks. And they just go along to get along. They're not real people. And it has nothing to do with at all with what they look like or what color their skin is or what sex they are. The only people that care about those things are the people that are externalized, of course. I've got a concept in my mind, and I've tried to describe it before, and it's really hard to adequately put it into words. You know, from time to time, I mention Roy Masters, and in the past I've mentioned, you know, he has this theory of, you know, like a unified field theory that, you know, and of course my ideas are kind of based on his, but and I obviously don't understand it as well as he does, but I'm able to understand it. But it's really hard to put into words. So I guess the best way to do it is to get you to use your imagination, and as you know, and I'm going to be as I go through this. You know, I'm going to be using my own imagination. But imagine you have a river. You got water, kind of, you know, you're sitting on the bank of the river, and the water's kind of flowing by. But along the edges, or, you know, or maybe out in the middle, there's some rocks, but along the edges, the edges of the river are sort of irregular. And if you look closely, you'll see little, you know, as the water flows in one direction, you'll see little spirals you know, kind of currents, you know, as it hits the irregularity, if it's a rock sticking out or a tree limb or something, or it's hitting the edge of the bank that's irregular, that's jutting out into the flow of the stream. If you look closely, you'll see spirals. You'll see little swirling spirals of water that are sort of swirling. And because of that swirling motion, there's kind of a gyroscopic action. And if you've ever actually played with a gyroscope, you know that a gyroscope, once you start it spinning, it sort of resists you sort of, you know, turning it in certain ways. The gyroscope wants to right itself, you know, it wants to remain sort of perpendicular, you know, like if you had a top when you were a kid, you spin the top, you know, and if you get the top spinning fast enough, the top wants to stay upright. You know, if the top, depending on how the top is designed, you get it spinning quick enough, the top will stay up, you know, it wants to stay perfectly upright, and the only time it starts to fall is when it slows down. And so that you get this, you got the water in the stream, and you got the little circles going around and around and around. You know, and there's some gyroscopic action there. And so those circles, even though they're water, they're made of the same water that makes up the rest of the current. The water is resisting itself because of the spinning action, which that's important to remember. It's the spinning action that is causing the, it's causing the water to resist itself. And so you have the spinning action that, you know, and so you just imagine that little spinning action is a particle. You know, just like a subatomic particle. And then you imagine that there's other, you know, you end up with an uncounted number of those particles. You know, it gets to the right speed, the spinning action happens. You get this gyroscopic motion, it resists the flow of the very thing that it's made of. Of course, Roy Master says that the universe is basically where it's constructed out of gravity, whatever gravity is. We don't know. We have no clue what it is. We think we know, but we don't know. When it comes right down to it. But he says that gravity, you know, there's this flow of gravity and you know, at just unimaginable speeds, velocities in all directions, you know, and it kind of passes through itself except where it spins. And then that creates solid, you know, solid subatomic particles. And then those particles come together and spins, various spins, and create matter. And then it's all just perfectly at the right speed so that you end up with solid matter, or at least matter that appears to be solid to us. You know, but you look at it on a subatomic level and it's anything but solid. It's just spinning particles. You know, that somehow they have mass, and the mass comes from the spin. But so you have these, you know, you got this little spinning thing and it becomes a particle, and then these particles kind of get together and they make up matter. You know, and they make up a lot of matter. And they make up the universe. You know, the matter kind of makes up the matter in the universe, and then then you have this empty space around the matter, and you think, oh, it's just nothing. It's just empty space. No, it's not. If you can kind of imagine whatever this thing gravity is, that's kind of going at unimaginable speeds, and it's passing through itself, except where there's a spin. You know, a little, you know, it crosses and it creates this spin. and it creates these particles. So space is actually something. But in any case, it makes up matter. Whatever this mysterious force gravity is actually what we're made out of, is what matter is made out of. It's made out of gravity, literally. And of course, matter, what's life made out of? We're alive, human beings are alive, things that are, all the different living creatures are alive. Their bodies at least are made out of matter. The physical parts are made out of matter. Now, everything matter, animals, any kind of matter, everything has to, it goes by a law. And it has to do whatever the law is. So in other words, a spin is going to, if you get the spin and the right spin, it's going to create a particle, and then those particles are going to create matter. And they have to. There's no choice. They're slaves of it. They have to do what they're designed to do. But animals have to be, you've heard me say this a lot, they have to follow their instincts. They don't have a choice. But there's one creature that does have a choice. We don't have to follow, we don't have to follow what we know as conscience. We don't have to follow that. We as human beings, we have a choice. We can rebel. And it's a deliberate choice. It's a deliberate flaw. It's a deliberate design to give us a choice. The possibility of rebellion. The possibility of spitting in the face of our Creator. Whatever it is that caused us to evolve. And I was thinking about that this evening after I had that discussion with the driver, and I was, I was just kind of driving along, and I was just thinking about that. And why wouldn't you want, what could possibly possess you to not want to follow your Creator's wishes? What could possibly cause you to spit in the face of your Creator and try to be your own recreator? What on earth could possibly do that? And how can people think that way? How can people think that they can remake themselves and remake society, and that they can sort of regulate this and regulate that and create their own god / government, or their own god / dictator? It doesn't make any sense. But if you can understand, and it's kind of a tough thing to do, but if you can really understand what creates matter, what has created us, and what the heck are we, as a sort of a point of awareness, what are we, what are we as, we're not our bodies, whatever a soul is, it's a point, sort of a point of awareness, but what is it? It's really a perplexing thing. But nonetheless, we are. We exist. We exist at the pleasure of our Creator. The gravity keeps flowing. The matter keeps, is perfectly stable. It appears to be solid, perfectly stable. And yet, you know, all the matter on this earth has to be what it is. It has to follow the rules. No choice, except one thing: human beings. We have this choice. And yet, we spit in the face of it, and we choose the wrong thing because it you know, we want to play God in our own minds. It goes back to that Adam and Eve story, and that Adam and Eve story it fits perfectly. It perfectly describes every single one of our problems, or the root of it. So in other words, you know, putting it another way, how do you know who you are? How do you know that you're a genuine person? How do you know that you're just not simply a collection of conditionings? There appear to be plenty of people that's all there is to them. How do you know you're not one of those people? How do you know that the thoughts that you think aren't simply groupthink? How do you know? It's really, you know, and it's something that you have to find out for yourself. You have to ask these questions for yourself. You can't, I can only go so far in describing, and I have to ask I have to ask myself the same questions. I have to have a willingness to look at myself and, you know, and kind of, you know, continually probe these ideas. I think everyone is kind of familiar with the Star Trek Next Generation, and then Star Trek Voyager, and this concept that they have where they have this on these holodecks where they can kind of create this sort of virtual world that's very real. And it's a very interesting concept. You know, and they can go in there and they can have all of these adventures, but none of it's actually real. It's not really happening. But in a very real sense, you know, the universe is sort of holographic, because matter is made out of gravity. Matter is made out of just these little spins that I talked about. The particles that make up matter are made out of those spins. The spinning action. The little eddy, you know, the little eddies that go around and around and around create the gyroscopic motion. Those are the particles that make up matter. And as long as the gravity keeps flowing at the right rate, then matter continues to, you know, it's created and it's sustained. By the way, there's a passage in the Bible somewhere that says, if, you know, basically the same thing, that if God took his hand away, that matter, you know, everything would just cease to exist. But, if, you know, just imagine this with this unbelievably big universe. You know, it's so big, we have no clue how big. We can't imagine how big it is. Oh, people can try to say, oh, it's so many billions of years old, and it's got, you know, it's this far across, and this is the shape of the universe, and so on and so forth. You know, but we can't really imagine that. You know, we can kind of talk about the numbers and what have you, but we can't imagine it. It's, you know, on our scale, it's just unrelatable. You know, on the human scale, you start talking about the universe and this entire Earth, and this entire solar system, in fact, is nothing but a little, you know, just a little piece of dirt somewhere. Or for that matter, the entire galaxy Milky Way galaxy is just nothing compared to the universe at large. It's less than a grain of sand on a massive beach. But just imagine it's just unimaginable. Just imagine the force, the tremendous amount of energy that keeps matter existing. You know, it's just unimaginable how fast that gravity is moving. Obviously, many, 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 many times the speed of light. Can't even imagine how fast, how much energy is there that's passing in every direction through itself with no resistance unless there's a spin of a particle. And of course it's very stable. You know, you have energy and matter, and you know, matter can be converted into energy. You know, it can go back and forth, and if the right circumstances exist, but it's all extremely stable. But what is it behind matter? Obviously, it's pretty obvious to me that we're the product of some sort of, you know, I'm going to use the phrase, the dreaded phrase, intelligent design. It just didn't happen that we exist. It's not just a random happening, and it's not, you know, and evolution, which I do believe occurred, there's some logic, there's something behind it, there's some procession of logic caused it to happen the way it did. It's not all just chance. It's not all simply survival of the fittest. And so there's an intelligence behind the gravity. There's something that gives us conscience, that makes us conscious. There's something that somehow makes me conscious, you know, of me as a, you know, as a point of an awareness, you as a point of an awareness. There's something of that gravity, something behind that gravity, somehow, very mysterious, but it makes us aware, it gives us an awareness. We are not our bodies. We are not our brains. There's something more to us as human beings. So that single thing that, you know, the whatever it is that's behind the gravity, it's pretty obvious that that's what's behind making us aware, you know, kind of giving us an awareness. And then of course we have access to these basically biological computers, our brains. We have access to, you know, we have a marvelous computer that we've never been able to duplicate and probably never will be able to duplicate. In a machine sense, can't duplicate the function of a brain, don't even really, you know, we can understand parts of it, but when it comes right down to it, we don't really understand it, not anywhere close to understanding it, just different parts of it. It's all very interesting stuff, but what are we? What gives us that awareness that you know, this sense of I'm me and you're you? And so if there's a force this gravity that creates and sustains all matter, including us, the matter that we're made out of. And behind that same force gives us consciousness, makes us aware, then, and every piece of matter in the universe has to be what it is because it's has no other choice. We have a choice. We as human beings have a choice. So why would we choose? Why would we make the wrong choice? Why would we choose to pretend that the force behind the force of gravity that creates matter, that sustains matter, why would we try to pretend that, you know, and it even brought us, you know, evolved us into existence, why would we try to pretend that you know, we're our own creatures and we can be God ourselves? Why would we choose to try, you know, to spit in the face, you know? And of course there's this war that goes on within every human being. There's a war, you know, war between good and evil, a war between, you know, ego and God. And if you could, you know, if you can really kind of grasp the concept, you know, and I haven't done a very good job of kind of explaining it, you have to kind of come to understand this concept I'm talking about, you know, of that gravity kind of creating matter out of itself. Because literally our, you know, the matter that makes up our bodies and the matter that makes up the, you know, the physical objects in our world and the world itself are all made out of the same thing. It's just creates different part, you know, you have different particles, you have different configurations that create different atoms. They fit together, create molecules, etc., etc., etc. But it's all made out of the same stuff. And there's a single force behind that. And of course, I believe that whatever it is that gives us awareness, that created us, that sustains us, that gives us awareness, also is there to give of itself to us. But we are the only creature that on this earth that has a choice. We don't have to. We have the choice. We've been given the choice to either follow that, to love that, and to follow that, or not, or to, you know, kind of spit in its face. You know, so why would you choose, knowing that, if you can understand that, grasp that concept, why in the world would you choose to try to go against the very nature that created you? It doesn't make any sense.
What if I could prove to you that space is simply not empty space? That the space that's around us is this, you know, the space that we occupy, the space that's around us, the space that's around matter is actually something. You know, I want to talk about something. If you're really honest and you think about it, it's going to boggle your mind. Now, we know that the speed of light is roughly 186,000 miles per second. It's very precise. It's pretty precise. 186,000 miles per second. Now, if I'm driving down the road at 62 miles an hour, top speed, that's what my truck is set to run at top speed, and I have my headlights on, I'm going 62 miles an hour, but let's say that there's somebody standing up on top of the truck throwing a baseball forward. Now, of course, he's going to meet some wind resistance, but let's just kind of take that out of the equation. Let's say that somebody fires a gun, which it's the bullet would still meet wind resistance, but the bullet is going to travel at whatever speed the bullet travels at, and I don't know exactly what speed a bullet travels at, and that would probably vary depending on how powerful the bullet was, the gunpowder, how much gunpowder. It would probably vary. I'm sure that, it would vary a little bit. But it's going to travel at a certain speed. But if someone was standing on top of my truck firing a gun forward, the bullet would travel at whatever speed it travels, plus 62 miles an hour. But if you think about it, if my truck's traveling down the road at 62 miles an hour, I have my headlights turned on. The light that's coming out of my headlights is still only traveling at 186,000 miles per second. Now, how can that be? How can that be? Is light, there's a debate, is light a particle or is it a wave? And some people seem to argue that it's something in between. But whatever it is, it's just very, very light. It doesn't seem to have much mass. And so, and they've done experiments where they've actually stopped light or slowed it down. Now think about this. They've actually been able to use, there's different experiments, and you can actually look them up where they've actually been able to, kind of stop a light particle or at least slow it down. And it does slow down when it goes through certain materials. But when it comes out the other side, what happens? It speeds back up. Now, how can that be? How can that light speed something speeding it back up in the direction that it travels in straight lines? Of course, it can bend. Gravity can bend it, but massive gravitation can bend it. But again, how in the world is it that it can slow down and speed and passing through a material and then speed back up on the other side? Something is pushing it. And so if you imagine that this gravity is this traveling at incredible speeds with incredible energy in every direction simultaneously all around us, the light particles are so small and so little mass that they end up being pushed, but they're meeting the resistance of the gravity that is pushing from the other side. It's coming from the other side. Now, the gravity, if there's nothing there, if there's no particle there, the gravity simply effortlessly passes through itself. But if there's a particle, even a particle of light, a photon, whatever a photon is, and it's pretty obvious that they do exist because we're able to see them. That's how we see. That photon's being pushed along, but then it's meeting resistance from the other side, and so that's what determines the speed of light. And so, therefore, there is something in space. It's not just empty space. The light is traveling through some medium. It's pushing it along, and it's meeting resistance from the other side. And if you think about that, it has to be. Because otherwise, how could the light speed back up after it passes through certain types of material? Glass, certain glass material, the light slows down, it comes out the other side, speeds back up precisely to the 186,000 miles per second. And then something else, if you
of course, we're familiar, if you're familiar with relativity, you know, and if we could kind of begin, you know, we were in our spaceship and we could accelerate it, and we began to approach the speed of light, it takes infinitely more energy it's going to take a certain amount of energy to get to a percent of the speed of light, and then it takes more and more and more and more energy to accelerate faster. And then, of course, if you could actually achieve the speed of light, if you could go the speed of light using some sort of conventional propulsion, if that were possible, at that speed, you'd flatten out. You'd just flatten out like a pancake. And then, of course, then you end up with all kinds of time distortion and so on and so forth. But that really implies, well, why does it take more energy? Because if space is just empty space, then it shouldn't take any more energy. You should just be able to just go. So you're obviously meeting some kind of resistance. So space is not just empty space. And any other thought, you know, you have gravity. Gravity creates matter. And then whatever it is behind gravity makes us aware. It somehow gives us awareness and the ability to be aware. And the ability to think thoughts. And it gives us, you know, those thoughts don't, we're not originating our thoughts. You know, I've talked about that before. We don't originate our thoughts. You know, there's two stations you can tune into, you know, make it simple. You know, you got Jiminy Cricket on one shoulder, and then the guy with the horns and a pitchfork on the other, you know, and it's kind of a war, tug of war back and forth, good and evil. Kind of conscience versus ego. And then whatever's behind you, the slimy, rotten side of your ego that kind of eggs you on. But what is it, you know, how can it be that, you know, if we realize that, if you can actually realize that, how in the world is it that you would turn your back on the very force of nature that is presenting you with the thoughts to think? Of course, unless it, you know, because if, you know, if you really do that the right way, you can't have the rotten side of your own ego can't be bloated. It, you know, you just get it out of the way. It can't be bloated. You can't be playing God in your own mind. And so these, I don't know, these are just some interesting things to think about. And, you know, again, you know, I'm not doing all that great of a job of sort of describing how it works. You have to kind of get these concepts in your mind and kind of be given to understand, you know, you got to receive the ideas. I can kind of describe the ideas as I'm receiving them, but you have to receive them yourself. You have to be able to be receptive to the ideas yourself. And, but it's, I don't know, it's a fascinating, endlessly fascinating topic. So, anyway, I have arrived at Oklahoma City. I stopped at, there's two TA truck stops here. I stopped at the one at exit 142, filled the truck up with fuel, and there's parking here tonight. There's quite a few parking spots. Now, of course, it is the 4th of July holiday, but this is in the city, you know, so it's kind of weird because you'd sort of expect that the thing would be more full than it is, because in the past, you know, I'd stop at truck stops in Oklahoma City and they'd be fairly full, but this one, you know, even on a holiday and even though it's in the city, there's parking spots in here, so, you know, in the middle of the night, so it's kind of tells me that the number of trucks that are kind of traveling back and forth, you know, across the country, obviously is down from what it has been in the past. So anyhow, probably better be cutting this off, see if I can get it uploaded, and then get headed to bed. Hope everyone has had a great weekend, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.